When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, it is the Redmen Podcast. I am Paul Machin. Evo and Steve join me in the studio for this one. We are on the countdown, of course, to Inter Milan, but we're going to have some general chat around the news that Jurgen Klopp wants James Milner to stay at least another year at Liverpool. So we're going to have a big old chat about that because it seems to have created a lot of conversation. For me, anyway, surprising amount of conversation, but we will come to that in due course. We'll talk a final couple of bits on Burnley because we don't really want to talk too much about that game, but mainly how Liverpool have kind of handled the return from the international break, and then we'll be chatting ahead of Inter Milan as well, doing a little bit more on that. We do have a couple of kickoff questions. I just want to say welcome to everyone who's joined us on Twitter. By the way, if you want to check out the full podcast, we are live right now over on YouTube. If you listen after the fact, then we do the podcast live, generally speaking, 10:30 every Tuesday morning over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheRedmenTV. So make sure you get involved with all of that. Kickoff questions. First question, Dave Stott at Horrible Grandma. That's a hell of a Twitter. Hell of a Twitter handle, that.
Twitter game.
Bye. LFC can either A, win the league every 3 years but win a European Cup every 20 years. B, win a European Cup every 3 years but win a league every 20 years. Which is it, Stehor?
I'll win the league every 3 years and win the odd European Cup will be my choice. Okay. I just think that you'd have more. I think you'd have more fun doing it that way. Probably going to win a lot more games than, you know, if you win a league titles every 3 years. That must mean you're consistently good, which is handy. And again, I don't mean to dismiss European Cups, but like, I've seen six of them now. I've only seen one the league title. Well, I've seen two. I must caveat that. I've seen us win the League Cup twice, the European Cup twice rather, and then the league once, and we weren't even in the ground for the league. So yeah, I think if you win the league every 3 years for, I don't know how long the caveat is for, then yeah, basically that's ridiculous. I think I'm not sure the novelty would quite wear off winning the European Cup every 3 years.
I'm sure Madrid,
we'd be fine with it. But yeah, if it was a come down, I always say like number one priority every year should be winning the Premier League title, and then everything else would come secondary to that. I think I would. A league title every 3 years would be absurd. It took me 30 years to get the last one or whatever it took. Like if we can have 10 in the same time period, I'll bet your hand off.
Yeah, I, what about you, Evil?
I went the other way. I think even like, I know you guys waited a long time and even longer than me for Liverpool to win the Premier League title, but I think we see it with Man City, like since ever, since every time, like they are waiting to win the Champions League, and it doesn't, like it matters that you win the Premier League, but it doesn't matter like how often you do it, you still have that thing, a little asterisk that you don't win the European Cup at all. Mm-hmm. And I think the second version, the second choice, still means that you could be really good in the league, so yeah, be top three constantly and win the European Cup every three years. I went for the second choice.
Do you think like your European roots play into this as well? Because if you ask it, generally speaking, because I know it's weird because I speak to a lot of people from other countries and even players, they see the Champions League as like the main thing.
And the amount of love that like the Europa League and that gets on the continent well more than it does in this country.
Yeah. I think you can be more successful when you are constantly a threat in the league and really well recognized internationally by winning the cup than just doing it in your country. Even like England is big, the Premier League is big around the world. I think it's a little bit more reputation if you are good in your country and really good in the elite internationally.
You'd be loaded if you won the European Cup every 3 years as well, by the way. You'd have so much money. It's funny because I think I kind of get your point, Steve. It would be more because you win. You definitely got to win more games because you've got to win to win the league. Now you've pretty much got to. You can only lose like three games all season. But I think you'd have more fun because you just get it's the trips and the aways. I don't know whether we get a bit bored of like, oh, here we go. Oh, we're going to the Allianz again. You know what I mean? Like, you know, maybe it would have worked because like the amount of people I'm sure he went. Porto, really? Come on, you know what I mean? Can we,
shit, here we can go we, again.
Yeah, can we have Sporting? You know what I mean? Can we have Benfica? I'll go to Portugal again. But God Almighty, there's only so many times I can go up and down the hills in Porto in the fog and the rain before I get a little bit tired of it. But there is. I suppose you're maintaining the magic of the European Cup. Yeah, if you're only winning that every 20 years, and there's something to. Yeah, just the only other thing is though is that right, there's maybe this little England mentality because you are to be the biggest and the best, you have got to win European Cups. Now we're lucky that we have that forever, so like no one's going to take away the six that we've got. Now I would say is if it can start from like this season, so at least you know I don't want to wait 20 years from now to win another European Cup. I don't want to be old. Much older than I am now, many, many years older. If you told me we win the European Cup this year,
you could conceivably be a granddad if it was 20 years. You could be watching the European Cup, fine with your granddad. Yeah, same as me, yeah.
Yeah.
That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, terrifying. Well,
I might have changed my mind.
Well done. Yeah, I'd like my kids to be able to fully appreciate one before the other because proper grown-ups are watching it. It's an interesting question, actually. Yeah, I do love that we get one of these every week of like the what caveats you not being able to win the things that you want to win. The reality is like Liverpool could have 3 years now where they win both every year for the next 3 years, which would be splendid. But yeah, I don't know. Is there a sense of entitlement if you win in the league every 3 years? United fans are awful because of that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's that dominance thing, isn't it? You can just walk around being the daddy kind of thing. Like I always see this with Chelsea. It's why Chelsea fans, even though Chelsea aren't always the best team, from nowhere they just win a league. Yeah. Like where'd that come from? Like where's that Conte league title? How'd that happen? Yeah. Or the second Mourinho was like, how have you managed that? Because you never do this, and then all of a sudden you weren't the best team, and all of a sudden you are now the best team again. Where I think. To be honest, in Liverpool 100-odd years history, and they've won six European Cups, it averages like once every 20 years anyway. Like, yeah. Well, it's there or thereabouts. We just did it in bunches a couple of times in the middle. Yeah. But so maybe it's that. But yeah, I think you ask the players, I think players would say Champions League. I'm convinced. I think players still see Champions League as the daddy. As much as they won't, like everyone goes, oh, yeah, league title. I think like it's that European Cup that means more.
If you want to win the Ballon d'Or, they're the kind of things you need to win. Because like, If you're in the running for the Ballon d'Or, you probably play for a team that wins its league most seasons anyway. Particularly if you're playing in any other league other than England, or you play for Man City. But yeah, European Cup is what sets you out above and beyond other things. It is a fascinating one. We had our club legend Discorders. I put that in there for them to answer. Jith said win a European Cup every 3 years but league every 20. Danny, who is one of our mods on YouTube as well, says that's an awful decision to make. Liz really likes the European Cup. It's that trophy that all the superpowers want to win. And Scott T would go with win the league every 3 years, European Cup every 20. Farouk Bulsara says league takes priority.
have you just heard Freddie Mercury's name?
Yeah, apparently so. League takes priority every year for me. European teams value European Cup more than the league, no matter what, says Scott T as well. So yeah, interesting stuff. We've got another question, and it comes from Tom Lloyd. You can clone one LFC player who can be on the field at the same time as his original. Who do you choose? I'm going to add a slight wrinkle to that, just of the current side. So there's no just like, because everyone would just clone Steven Gerrard.
So we can have two of the same player on the pitch right now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Give me two Mo Salahs, please. I'll take that every day.
Wow, where are you playing the other one?
Give a fuck.
Double them up on the right wing.
Yeah, needs be. Yeah, or put them on the left side. Put them up front, don't care.
Like, every defender thinks they are drunk because they see two Mo Salahs.
Yeah, man. I'll take two Mo Salahs. I'm happy with that. Thank you very much.
Being on the pitch at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Salah is a good choice. I would have said Trent. just to have him
have another Trent in midfield,
in midfield and in right back position.
Yeah, that's an interesting.
Two Virgils at the back would be interesting, wouldn't it?
But he's not that good in the. I don't know. Does he play the left?
Yeah. Do you want a right? Yeah. Do you want a right-sided Virgil? Maybe. I mean, I'm sure he'd be fine.
Yeah. I mean, we've gone past the days of. I think this often, like, we've gone past the days of Stefan Onsho and Jamie Carragher, who are the throw your nutsack on the line kind of defenders alongside like your pairing Rolls Royce centre half. We've just got classy centre halves all over the place at this point. It did lead on. For me, I really can't think of it. I'd have two Tiagos, right?
Because when one's injured, the other one can play.
Exactly, yeah. So I would always have a Tiago available. That sounds about right.
I just took two of the best players in the world. Just double that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll figure out where they're going to play.
If one seller leaves, the other one can still leave.
Yeah, one can sign a contract and one can go to Barcelona or PSG.
It did get me thinking on this. And I think we've done similar questions down the years. But if you could, which one player have we got currently who... an entire team of, so that's goalkeeper all the way through to centre forwards of, would finish highest in the league.
I think a team of Virgils, because he's big.
Yeah.
So worst case is you can split absolute grok footy.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe a lot of nil nils, but like you'd fancy a chance off corners, and like you'd have to be half good in goal as well. That's your issue. Like a team of Mo Salah would be amazing, but he's only little.
Yeah,
like it might be easy to score past. I mean, imagine them defending set pieces from like Vegas against like 11 Mo Salahs. So yeah, I think 11 Trent would be good.
That would be my choice because yeah. I think like if you have it's a Trent Alexander-Arnold morning here for me. But like if you have Trent Alexander-Arnold going in all the offensive positions, he don't have to worry like or the right back don't have to worry about the offense and the offense don't have to worry about to get back and like. He is good and solid enough in defending and elite in everything he's doing, like rolling forward. Would be a good team.
I mean, in terms of experience coverage, it's probably James Milner because he's literally played in every position. And I bet James Milner is a brilliant goalie as well. Like, he's not big, so he's not like, he's probably not commanding. But has anyone ever played like 11 aside and you had in training? And you'd always find like that one lad, he was normally like your forward, he was one of your best players. And he'd go, being a goalkeeper, there's always like rankled me big time. Like, he'd go and goal and he'd be saving stuff and making it look dead easy. You're like, oh my God, do us a favour and fuck off. Because I'd love to be able to go and go. I'm just going to bag a few goals in for a laugh. For your lads, you know what I mean? Like, it's nothing.
Apparently, Wayne Rooney is amazing in goal, isn't he?
Yeah, that was exactly what I was thinking of, actually.
With 11 James Milners fuming at each other.
Yeah. I just couldn't imagine.
What the hell cost us? But, like, what the hell, Millie?
Yeah, fuck off, Millie. Thanks. The number 9 Milner would do. I don't know.
He's a little magician.
Up front, James Milner, you'd be hoping for a lot of pens, wouldn't you?
You're
just running around the box hoping someone fouls you.
The problem is that of all you, I mean, Bobby Firmino might be one of the answers, but
he'd be so slow, though. That's the problem with that.
The answer probably is Virgil, because pound for pound, and it, you know, it's just mad to say because he's huge, he probably is the best footballer we have.
You could imagine a big Virgil running down the wing. He's got pace, like pace the bit, it'd be terrifying. Or you just like the Mighty Ducks when they all go at it, you know, once just 11 Virgils just charge. Yeah, you'd be terrified
in one formation.
Club legend Danny saying Sadio, the team they'd be menaces.
They would
a team of Sadio Mane's. Funny enough, at early doors for this, but I did think I'd be fascinated to watch a team of Luis Diaz's. And we need to see how he settles in, but he's lightning, he's gnarly as fuck. And he clearly knows how to score goals and all that kind of stuff. It's just, it'd be good. For, it's like Sterling was a boss right back. I mean, there's times, it was one of the League Cup games where we ended up having to play him right back because we got the man sent off, or it was extra time or whatever. And he was our best right back because he was just that good. He's that good at footy and he had that passion to do it.
You know, 11 Sadio Mane, so if one score, would you all, how'd you copy each other's celebration when it's just you?
No, you have a celebration.
Yeah, because you were meant to copy me. So, oh, it's confusing.
Either input. Either input toward the.
There's a glitch in the matrix. We don't know what to do.
It's the same with Bobby. Like, it would look like a performance.
Just 11 Bobbies just karate kicking each other like a brawl when they score.
Andy and the YouTube live chat says a team of Fabinhos for me.
Yeah, it's a good shot.
Yeah.
Good defending and always like 30.
And he's a set piece. He's a set piece scorer master now, isn't he? From Fab in the box is lethal. We found that out.
Absolutely. And a good point, actually. I don't think this is necessarily an answer for this, but like a team of Allisons you could do worse than have a team of Allisons.
Yeah. And it'd be good. But could they all be in as different looks? So you'd have like Muzzy Allison in goal, Scruffy Allison at left back, Nigel back here, Allison centre half. That'd be class. He's got to look. So you could distinguish which Allison's which.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'd be class.
Yeah.
I'd put Scruffy Allison up front.
Perfection.
You know, rough and ready Allison that we saw the other day, I'd have him up front. I'd have Muzzy Allison in goal.
A random outside the box shout here from Joker, team of Oxes.
Again, it's gone back to the versatility, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like, and he can play number nine. I would
genuinely love it. This might be like a Pro Evo or whatever, eFootball, FIFA mod thing
Evo.
Where I would like, yeah, sorry. That's how I remember how to pronounce your names, like people, like Pro Evo. Literally pit those teams against each other and see who comes out.
Sounds like you've got a summer content series. Tune in this summer for the Red Men TV playing FIFA at 11 Oxes.
That's how our watch-alongs came about. Was on the podcast, we were doing draft picks of the Liverpool team. And then I was putting it into Pro Evo doing it on Twitch and then doing the live commentary over the top, and that's how we ended up going, we'll try a watch along off the back of this. Good fun. Lockdown one was wild, wasn't it? it's hard. Keep your answers coming in for all those. We are going to be discussing Burnley, the return from the international break and James Milner's new contract after the break, and then a little bit on Inter Milan later on. But yes, it is next week is Wembley week on Red Men Plus. We've got an amazing array of exclusive podcasts, documentaries and interviews for you guys to check out. Here's a little sneak peek of some of that.
The League Cup final is nearly upon us. We're excited, you're excited, and we've got some incredible content upcoming on our streaming service, Red Men Plus. We've got an exclusive In Conversation with the League Cup 2012 Man of the Match, Stuart Downing, talking through his memories of that day. We've got an incredible silverware stories featuring the likes of Sander Vesterveld, Emil Heskey, Darren Pearce of Birmingham, amongst others, looking back at that 2001 League Cup victory, as well as an incredible podcast series with the men who lived and covered each and every one of Liverpool's record-breaking 8 League Cups so far. This is how you get excited for the League Cup. This is how you build up to a final, and it's only available on Red Men Plus. www.theredmentv.com. Get yourself signed up and get this content. It's incredible.
Yep, Wembley week as we count down to the League Cup final. Head over to Red Men Plus. Not only that, we're making a big push for this because, again, we've got a 5-part premium podcast series coming out. We're going to have one of them is going to be available for people to try out on Acast, Spotify, iTunes and all that. But yeah, premium podcast series looking into all of Liverpool's League Cup wins, all 8 of them with their journalists who covered it at the time. I'm really, really proud of that one. But that's geared towards podcast listeners, but there will be a video version as well over there. And of course, we're going to have the full raft of normal pre-match and post-match content covering every angle of the League Cup final on Plus, but more details on all that to follow later on this week. But yeah, get yourself signed up. It's a perfect time because the Reds are amazing and so is Red Men Plus. I'm happy to toot my own horn. If I was lying, I'd have a real struggle with that, but it's really good. I mean, I like literally 12 years ago, I was doing this shit in the back room of my house with a fucking hand painted banner, and now we're putting out like content that we're putting out now. It's started
from the bottom, now you're here.
yeah, absolutely. Right, sound Burnley, Steve Hall. I promised that we were never going to speak of this game again on the end of the final word, but then I forget every time when I do that we always do a little bit on the pod. I'm glad that we're now done, dusted, buried, and all that kind of stuff. The 3 points all safely tucked up, and we're on the point now where Liverpool will play Inter Milan, they'll go and play Norwich, and we'll be able to forget Burnley ever really happened.
Yeah, and it was one of those. I think I think the weather plays such a big part in it that it's almost an anomaly of a game. Like if you just play that game in a relatively normal weather, I think Liverpool win quite comfortably. It was interesting. I saw Andrew Beasley tweet out compared to Leicester, and Liverpool played more passes in the Burnley game and at a quicker pace. So do you were aware of what you were trying to do? Maybe using the conditions, because I think every time we tried the long ball, it was like a lottery. Mm-hmm. So in the end, we did try and knock it around a bit more. But yeah, it was. it was a dog of a game. When you get dogs, you get these every now and then, like where you just win 1-0 and get out of there, kind of thing. I actually think we played better than the 1-0 suggest.
Yeah.
I think we might have been better at Burnley than we were against Leicester, for example, and we were at 2-0, a bit more comfortable.
It's hard to tell, isn't it? Because as Steve makes the point there, Evo, it's so hard to judge that game, particularly when you're watching it on the telly, because, and it's eased because the corner flag was literally at like a 60 degree angle for a great number of those. I mean, the build up to our goal, Trent has to put the ball back in the quadrant and move the corner flag out of the way so he can even take it. But it's those things of sometimes I think we're a little harsh on these football matches when it's impossible. When you can practice all you want with the football and you can know your team and you can know your system and you can know all the things inside and out, but like wind, you know, if everyone knew how to perfectly account for wind, all professional golfers would be the best golfers simultaneously, you know, they could possibly be. So yeah, Liverpool coming through that is, yeah, it's probably been a little understated that it was probably a slightly, they deserve slightly more credit than probably they've gotten for that performance.
Yeah, spot on. And like, this is a challenge we have to face in this Premier League campaign as long as Burnley stays up. And it's always a challenge to go there. And it's like, you see how special this game is when you look at Jurgen Klopp keeping Diaz out. Like, it's not a normal Premier League game. It's not like...
No Harvey Elliott as well.
No Harvey Elliott. It's not like... You know the way Burnley plays. You know Turf Moor. It's like... And then the weather conditions. Ugly win. But a win. That's the most important. And you're right. Like, it was like worse than the game actually was. And like, I just like the Fabinho face, the Fabinho meme, when he got asked, like, he Burnley created a lot of chances. No, that's not true. Like, no, really?
Seriously? I genuinely, because I think sometimes footballers can be a little passive in those interviews because they're so terrified of being in front of camera. See, they've got like a lot of like, let's like say, don't say something horrendously offensive. Don't get cancelled. Don't get cancelled. Don't give away the tactics. Don't blah, blah, blah. And like Fabinho, I genuinely love it when footballers just go, like slapping it out on the table and going, fuck, what are you talking about? Fabinho absolutely shutting down that interview. It was one of the best things. It was better than the whole game.
It was the best player, the man of the match for that. I was saying, it's like when I asked my kids, have you cleaned your room? And he goes, yeah. No. I go, I'll be sure you cleaned. Let's go. Shall we go and check if you've cleaned your room? No, it's okay.
So when you go, that was great sex, wasn't it? To your wife, and you go,
yeah. Did you enjoy that, love? Yeah. I was all right today, weren't I?
Oh, yeah. Nailed that there, didn't I?
Did you?
It was.
This is what you created, Fabinho.
Yeah. I said, there's a point, you could genuinely communicate solely in still image memes.
We did this on WhatsApp for a while, didn't we? Me and Paul were just talking to each other in Fabinho memes. Like, happy Fabinho, happy Fabinho.
Is the full gamut of emotions on his face there, from like, nice, open, pleasant, to like, you are a piece of shit. Why are you talking to me? It was glorious stuff from Fab. I mean, the most important thing, because I think we can forget about that game in isolation and look at it and what we've done. And I think it will tie into Milan, definitely, and it will tie into Norwich. And every game will eventually tie into one another because of if we're challenging on four fronts, that's how it works, Steve. But to go away, to get through January, as we did, which was beyond, I think, a lot of people's hopes when they saw, we felt a bit down the dumps going into January about Liverpool's chances. Came out of that great. The lads have gone away, had a bit of a rest, and then they've come back. And since we've come back, obviously beaten Cardiff, beaten Leicester, now beaten Burnley. Jota, Firmino, Diaz, Salah, Mane, Minamino all got minutes in attack. Thiago, Hendo, Milner, Naby, Fabinho, Harvey and Kurt Jones all got minutes in midfield. And even Costa's got a little run out at left back in the FA Cup game as well. The goalie's got a little change. This period, I think, was all about getting everything back up and running again. Because one consistent sort of cliches about Liverpool under Klopp is whenever we have a break, we're normally crap when we come back. And it feels like they've done the best to put that to bed.
Yeah, they have. Like I say, the options is the key there. You didn't have to dog someone into... Going into that Burnley game, if you were knackered, would have been really great. If you'd have played Leicester on Thursday and then the same team has to go to Burnley in that weather against that team, you could lose, you could draw, you know what I mean? Like, the fresh legs certainly played a part in that game, I thought, in pretty much all assets. I thought you could tell, you know, like, the likes of Salah and Mane had a little, again, I say the tiniest of breaks, but it certainly helps you. The fact that, you know, you could refresh and get Naby Keita on the pitch, who I thought was one of our better players in general in terms of, like, defensively. Yeah. I think that certainly helped, again.
Well, that's what you're talking about. It's like, so Jota, Diaz, Jones and Thiago all come out from the Leicester game. And they are, you know, so you're replacing, yeah, four of your hardest working players on the pitch have all been swapped out for another game, and that's afforded us not just to go horses for courses. There's been a lot of the discussion, but there's no drop off really when you do that. In fact, you could argue we've actually improved
at times. Yeah, I suppose the only, I don't think anyone played badly. I think Henderson didn't play well. Mm-hmm. I done the player ratings, and I was mad for 1-0 at Burnley. My ratings were actually quite high. There was a lot of, you know, there was nines for the goalie, sorry, 10 for the goalie, nines at the centre half. Everyone, it was only really Henderson, and then I kind of give Salas and Bobby like sixes because they thought they were fine. They were all right. There just wasn't that much going on. But like, they were quite high ratings. The only one, again, I think Henderson struggled, and I think what this Perry will do now, if anyone is in bad form, like, the manager has got options not to play them. If he doesn't have to play Henderson in Inter Milan, if he doesn't want to. He might. He's the captain, and there's lots of intangibles to do with that. But if you say, right, Jordan, you're in bad form, rather than just dogging him out again, just let him have a break and get back to go and do what he needs to do. He's had this little injury, maybe get his back injury, maybe let him settle down. He's got options. You're not making changes because you have to. You're making them because you've got the luxury of doing so. And vice versa, you've got the luxury of doing so. You don't just have to keep playing the same lads. Like, I'm certain I'll do starting 11 later on the channel. Like, Jota will be in my team. I'm certain he'll start that game. Like, how amazing is that? Yep. Like, you can just take out the front three that have won us all these trophies and just throw Jota in. Diaz is an option there. Look at midfield. Thiago. It's so good. The only thing you've got to be worried about, I always think, with a rhythm team, so you can't make 7, 8, 9 changes. Yeah. It's got to be the threes and fours, and that's what he's going to do, I think.
But also, you're entering into a period now where there's a few cup games to consider, where you've got 5 subs as well. The League Cup final is going to be 5 subs. Inter's going to be 5 subs. So you can actually make changes, but actually not lose too much rhythm in these players. And the games are going to be, we're playing 2 games a week now till the end of the season, if everything goes our way. Yeah. And I agree with Steve. That's going to be a new challenge to make sure everyone's right at the peak of sharpness, everyone's happy and everyone's competitive. But really, the way this squad's constructed, I would be amazed if they weren't all kind of buzzing for the challenge, because they've recreated the idea of a meritocracy where if you, the hardest workers in training, play the next game.
Yeah, and like, you introduced this topic really well, like, a minute ago. Like, it's like, hit the ground running, everyone, after that break. And like, you don't want to get into this March, April, May time and having 11 or 12 players who can only 11 or 12 players who can contribute. You want the full squad ready and healthy. Like, that is a, like, if you would have given me this situation right now, if you would have shown me this in pre-season, I would have signed it immediately. Mm-hmm. Because like, every option we have, like, and you said it, like, we have so many options now. They are all somehow fit and somehow in shape, and they all played like a week or two or three ago. It's not completely new to them. Yeah. They weren't out of the squad for weeks, and like, I think that still has an overall rhythm. Yep. With it. And like, it's also like, when we want to create mentality monsters again, like, it's not only about scoring late goals, it's also for the staff members, for the manager, for every player, like, yeah, like, knowing that you have every answer in the squad. Like, okay, that is a different game, a different, like, so many different opponents, so many different opponent players. Yeah, we have so many different players with different skill sets who can match them.
I think, you know, there's been a lot of teams that have gone at Liverpool this season, and there's two things that are going to happen. Teams are going to continue. Liverpool continue to play how they played. Mm. So that's front foot, high line, press, 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 attack, 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 try and bat, try and attack the league. It's been the modus operandi for 2 seasons now. We're actually more capable now than ever, because we talked about this on the commentary at the weekend today. If you're going to play that, you've got to aggressively press the ball high up the pitch. You've got to shut down the passes to stop them from nicking the ball over the top and what have you. So having the ability to refresh the midfield, mm-hmm, and the forward positions is going to help you in that. But also, there's going to be more teams, conversely, who are go, forget it. this is done and dusted, we're just going to stick loads of men behind the ball. And in that regard, you need to be able to refresh your attacking options. Go back to last season when we were able to bring Jota in for Mane. 20 minutes to go, you bring Jota in and you've at the bare minimum, you've maintained the level you were at. There's no active drop-off. There's no, you're swapping out a proven goal scorer for someone who can just do a job for you. And I think both of those things are going to help us massively as we go towards the run-in for the season.
Yeah, and again, I think Evo's spot on there. It's like, right, who are we playing this week? How do they play? Well, who suits this game? Like, Curtis Jones played. I thought Curtis Jones was okay. He's had a good little run. Not even in the squad the other day. Klopp's just decided barely isn't a game for you. And it makes sense. Curtis wants to get the ball down. Curtis wants time on the ball. Some say he holds it too long, but in general, that's what his game is. Well, that isn't Burnley, is it? Yeah. You might that actually might suit Inter Milan in the San Siro. Like, there's a shout it does. Mm. It certainly could suit Norwich. So that's the thing, is that the only one who's probably out in terms of frozen out at the moment is Gomez. Origi's been injured, so he's out and about as well. But the only one really who's not getting a sniff is Joe Gomez. And it's hard to see that changing. He's been really unlucky. Like, I'm sure he would have played Cardiff, but he had the COVID issues and stuff. Maybe Norwich in the Cup in a few weeks' time. They're gearing up for that. He's the only one who you're thinking, if he had to go in now, he's got no rhythm. And he's actually the player, I think, in the whole squad who needs games to get up to rhythm.
Yeah.
So that's the issue he's got.
He might find himself in that situation than a number of our lads were last year, where obviously he might just get annoyed and might want to move on in the summer. But if Liverpool are smart, they'll go to him. Look, circumstances conspired against you this season, mate. It'll be different this time around because we all looked at the squad. When we got to the last summer, we all thought, Kostas is going to get fucked off because clearly they don't like him at all. Oxlade-Chamberlain's getting sacked off, definitely. Divock's definitely getting sacked
Naby.
Off. Yeah, Naby. There was about five or six lads we all thought, based on what we'd seen last season, was really, it was circumstantial. Yeah, and having to just dig in with the lads that he knew he could trust in as many areas where we had the regular lads available, he had no choice but to play them to kind of make up for the losses in other areas. Right, we need to move on because we've gone heavy on Burnley and we didn't mean to. Just quickly, we got Sid Senor with a super chat saying, how can anyone say that Ali is not the best keeper in the world? I feel he's the only goalkeeper in the world who has the upper hand in one-on-ones. I agree. I don't really think there's anyone who doesn't think he's the world's best goalie.
You won't find a Liverpool fan who's swapping things. There's some top goalies about, like Ederson's brilliant, by the way, and Oblak, I think, is absolutely fantastic. Neuer's still very, very good. There's loads of good goalies, but the test is always, would you swap him? And there's no one I swap out.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not our fault that he's not getting tested permanently. Mm-hmm. Like other keepers have,
like
to
David De Gea, who has to save 10 shots a game. Like Alisson doesn't have to do that. But I get it because I think if you don't watch Liverpool enough, you don't see. There's never an Alisson highlight reel because they never highlights. There's never that. Like David De Gea made a good save the other day. It's a worldy save, and I get it. Adam Ramsdale got this sometimes. Like the top bin worldies. Like Alisson really has to do it. Listen. He has made mistakes with every goal. He will throw one in a couple of times, but he makes goalkeeper look very, very simple when it's anything but.
Yeah,
it's like that. Even I know it was offside, but that one in corner, he goes round him. He just makes the fella run out to play. Like any other goalie is like diving out and getting it. He just makes it look so simple because he's so good.
You can. It's when you look at the other goalies who fans of those teams can go. Like Lloris is a good example of this, and people go, "Well, he's a World Cup winner." He's at least in the tier below. He might even be the tier below, below that.
When you watched him on the weekend, two or three tiers below.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's a bunch of those goalies who, by comparison to some of the other goalies, like Everton have this with Pickford. Pickford's fine, by the way. We give him a lot of stick because obviously all the stuff he's done against us, and we might have a laugh at his expense because it's nice low-hanging fruit to bash Evertonians with.
Which, ironically, he couldn't reach.
Which, of course, he couldn't reach because he's got such little arms.
He's staring in the new Jurassic World, right?
Yeah, definitely. They've let him loose all over the globe now, apparently. Ecological disaster. The point is that compared to what they'd had for years, he was miles better than that. And we thought this a bit, there's a few players Liverpool have had like that, which is why I recognise the behaviour. When Jose Enrique came in, and he actually was a good, solid left-back, but we'd had years of awful left-backs or injury-prone left-backs. All of a sudden, there's a lad who plays 40 times a season, and he's 7 out of 10 most weeks. People adore Steve Finnan because, let's be honest, we've gone through Hosmi, the man so bad they named him twice, Jan Kronkamp, and then we got to Steve Finnan, you know, around that, and we'd had him. By comparison, Steve Finnan was like, yeah, sounds. We'll have a bit of him all day long, and then Arbeloa will look really good. But then and then Glenn Johnson look rubbish, and then when you get Trent, you're like, oh my god.
Yeah, it's like,
oh my god, there's levels to this game I never realised.
Enrique looks worse every time you watch Andy Johnson. No, sorry, Andy Johnson, maybe as well. I was thinking that was me going back to that League Cup conversation I was about to talk about as well. But like you say, you look at the TV plays that League Cup final in 2001, like they won a treble last season. And we all thought, oh my god, they're the best team ever. And then you look at the team now and go, oh my god, they were shit. And they weren't shit. It's just, again, it's comparisons. Alisson is just like, when you're world class and you make things look easy, again, it's the same with Virgil. You very rarely see a Virgil highlight reel. You get the odd one where he flicks it over someone's head or nods it backwards. He makes what other people make look difficult, look simple. Compare Harry Maguire to Virgil, right? And Harry Maguire's a Premier League captain, Man United, £80 million. And he does things that make you think, why the fuck have you done that?
Yeah.
And you don't get that with Virgil, and you very, very rarely get with Alisson as well.
They redefine things, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that. Like, yeah. You know, so that Virgil van Dijk is an example. Go back to that Tottenham game a couple of years ago where he's defending a 2-on-1. And it's dropped to Sissoko in the
end.
Who puts it wider over. And Virgil, just not any other defender, commits to tackling one lad. He just defends the space between the two of them. And literally, actively, defenders have started doing that in that situation since, because Virgil showed one. That's how you actually defend that situation. I'd be playing people in the office on Pro Evo and people playing on FIFA. You found your mates defending on computer games like that, because Virgil goes, no, this is how you do it. And Alisson does a bit of that as well. It's like, just move your feet. Just move your feet. Don't dive, move your feet.
I get this with De Gea, by the way. De Gea, you're getting so much credit this season. A reason that this is happening, by the way, is because he's on his line a lot. Mm-hmm. It's so easy. Why is it so easy to get in behind Man United? Because the goalie's tethered to his line. He will make a lot of saves from there, and he does, and he makes some worldies, but I always think, it's like someone's bungee corded them to the goal net, and he can only go 5 yards out. Alisson let the high line. We can play the high line because our goalie's coming out and playing left back if he needs to.
Yeah.
And Ederson, that's why I rate Ederson. Ederson gets a bit of stick. Well, he's brilliant at it. We can play 10 yards further up the pitch because our goalie can do that kind of shit.
And to be fair, in some of those things, this is the thing about Ederson. For me, it's Alisson or Ederson, the two best goalies in the world. I know he's still boss, but he's had his day.
And Oblak's,
I think Oblak's had his day as well. To be perfectly honest, he's different. He's not. He wouldn't suit our style of football. Oblak.
He suits Atleti to the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's other examples, but there's a lot of them just in that tier below. But yeah, I think honestly, you speak to Man City fans. And they're like, Ederson perfectly suits us. I actually think you could probably could interchange those two goalies, and they'd work just as well for the other one. The only thing for us is Ederson, with his mad tattoos and his mad haircuts and all that. I don't think Liverpool fans would give him as much. Yep. The fact that Alisson just looks like this bear man in your goal, who you just know would batter you. I think actually gives him a lot of extra length of rope with the Liverpool fans. Thanks so much. That was a wonderful comment. From Sid Senor. Hey everyone, Mate here. If you're enjoying this podcast, then do go and check out Red Men Plus, our Liverpool streaming service, giving you tons of extra podcasts each and every month. There's Journo, Insight, there's the Around the League show, the Debate show, the Opposition preview, and interviews with Liverpool legends past and present as well. Tons of content to keep you occupied, keep you busy, thrilled, entertained, and go deeper on Liverpool FC culture. Head to the RedmenTV.com, sign up and join us on Redmen Plus. It actually leads us in no way, shape or form to our next topic, but Ashley Frith with this super chat does. He asks a question around Milner. Where does he rank in LFC free transfers? Has to be up there with Matip. Love the work as usual, guys. Thank you so much, Ashley. I think Klopp actually, because Klopp referenced the Matip thing in his press conference the other day about him being like one of the best free transfers. I think James Milner is Liverpool's best free transfer of all time.
Yeah, have you had this conversation on the debate show? I think at one point, I think it's entirely possible. I think I went Matip. I just think Matip's highest level is higher than Milner's highest level. But they're the two. Like Gary McAllister was brilliant for a year and a half, and he was, and then he soon, we got him so old that it was inevitable. We got him like how old James Milner is now is when we got Gary McAllister. But yeah, they're the two. I think he's been excellent. Both of them have been. It's you're splitting hairs. Jürgen said you're splitting hairs, and again, you are. But I went Matip, but again, it's a coin toss, isn't it?
I would go with Millie because I think his longevity and like his durability gives him the edge over Matip.
That's true.
Like when Matip is on his best, he's excellent, he's elite. But when you are successful, years flying by. And like, how long has Millie been here now? Six years.
Brendan signed him, didn't he? So yeah, long time ago.
That was Klopp's. That was the summer though, wasn't it? Where Klopp comes in that season.
2013-14 season or
2015-16, 2015 we signed him, so 7 years.
And that's a long time. And that's not usual for like it's usually like this when you are a really good team, but like for the usual football team, it's not typical.
I thought we were getting a great player when we signed Milner, because I thought he was brilliant. I never knew what Matip was. What was the consensus around Matip in Germany when we signed him? Because it never felt like we were getting like this absolute worldie that he's turned into. Maybe that's clouded my judgment. He's been more of a surprise. I thought we were going to get a top player when we signed James Milner. He just won Premier League titles. Like, he was brilliant. What was the consensus on Matip when we got him at the time? It was at Schalke, wasn't he?
I would say he was one of the best centre-backs in that time in the Bundesliga, but like a big step to the Premier League, but like he lived up to it. But the thing I want to touch on for Millie, like when we prepared for the show and we talk about Millie, the one thing that stands out for me every time, is he 36? 36 now, and he's the motherfucking best in this lactate test every summer.
Yeah.
He's and we have so many fast players, so many players who are really well conditioned. We have high condition level in this club, nutrition and everything, fitness levels are high, and this 36-year-old fella is like he's running everyone to the ground. That's
no,
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I agree on that. For me, it's Milner for me, if only because, you're right, I look back at Marcus Babbel could have been it, but he does because of his illness. He never gets to quite do it over a stretch of seasons. For us, Gary McAllister was absolutely it for that very short spell of time because he comes in and he takes Liverpool onto that level of the treble. Think about other free transfers, Joe Cole, crap. Steve Staughton, it was okay. He was better than what we had at left back, but you know he doesn't really get to do it. Fowler comes back on free, which is great, but it was you getting the last hurrah of Robbie Fowler. Craig Bellamy the second time around was a good addition, gets us the League Cup final, you know, beats Man City almost single-handedly at Anfield. He was cool to have around. But in terms of those two lads, of getting lads who can go in and be first teamers, and make no mistake, James Milner was a first teamer in our midfield under Jurgen Klopp, you know.
Or left back.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You know, but that, like, the team that goes to the Champions League final in 17-18, Milner's in that team. He's all over that team in the season that follows as well. He'd done the season before
and
that,
had,
in
like,
left back.
The most assists in the Champions League season.
I think he still holds that record as well. And to the point about him, because Matip, I agree, somehow we picked up a free transfer in Joel Matip, and he's as good as the £75 million Virgil van Dijk at times, and we have debates every now and again of like, has Ashley Matip been in better form? When we went to the Champions League final in 2019, there was a lot of people saying that Matip was our best centre half going into that. He'd been better than Van Dijk in that period, which is, you can take that with a pinch of salt to some extent, but you know, it's also about, it was enough people were saying it that there was something to it. But Matip hasn't played enough footy for us, so he's, I always feel like Matip's a luxury player, and I think you have that with free transfers sometimes, where you go, oh, he's nice to have around, oh, when he plays isn't that great. But like, Milner's just, we're getting that with Milner now, but we've had him for 7 years, so he gets to come in and plug gaps and do it to a really high standard, play with full commitment. You know, I love him. Just quickly before we do get into the contract stuff on him, Trick Josh sent a super chat in saying, us having Thor between the sticks just adds to the intimidation teams feel when they square up against us. He weakened himself by shaving his beard, but all's right in the world, now it's regrown. So on the Milner stuff, we've had a lot of chat around this, a lot on social media, so I thought it was worth it. Jürgen Klopp spoke in his press conference last week that there's no official talks ongoing with Milner. He said there's no chance of him retiring, and Klopp has been talking to him. Basically, it looks like Jürgen's trying to convince Milner to do one more year at Liverpool. And for me, Steve, that makes it a non-issue for me. You know, like, should we or shouldn't we give him a contract? I find it weird that we have these debates sometimes. I've got people going, I don't think we should give Milner a contract. And we'll talk through the ins and outs of it, of course, but What's your take on the Milner thing?
I'm surprised is the first one. I thought this would just be the end of James Milner's Liverpool career and he will go and play somewhere. I never thought he'd retire. I see people saying, let's make him a coach. He can play till he's 40. Why would he retire now? I know he doesn't need the money, but he probably wants to play. Like, I'm guessing even now he's good to that, he's not first choice. The pros, you get James Milner, you get your eighth choice centre midfielder or whatever he is, and he's a backup right back who can play left back if he needs him and things like that. That makes why you'd keep him. The negatives are, depends what the money is. Does it impact you spending elsewhere? Does it stop you signing someone else? The fact that Liverpool look like they're going to sign Fabio Carvalho anyway suggests maybe it doesn't. I heard the rumour the other day that they might sign Carvalho and loan him to Fulham for another year. And that dovetails. It basically means, so he has a year playing footy again when he's not going to really play yet. And then he replaces James Milner. So it all dovetails in. There's questions, if you keep him Millie, does that mean Ox is going? Does it mean Naby might go? So I get the pros and cons. But
my point on all this is that you're entering into hypothetical negative scenarios. It's going, well, what does it, it's trying to look at what the deeper meaning is.
Yes.
And it meaning, it must be bad for someone else. Whereas I don't really,
no, I'll be happy.
Maybe it might be bad for Nico Williams because there might be a case that, you know, look, at the moment we look desperately short on right back cover. Trent's played all these games that I mentioned before. Is Milner been promised Trent's understudy role for the rest of the season just to make sure he gets his minutes? Yeah. That would be a little concern if we're saying you're defo second choice right back next season.
Again, go back to that Joe Gomez commentary, maybe it's him. Yeah, but yeah, listen, if Liverpool go into the season next season with this squad, fine, like I'm all right with that. Like this squad that we've got right now, I think
we mean,
all.
There's no way we will.
No, because people. Yeah, no, because
like Origi will definitely.
Yeah, but just in general, like in saying, if you said that squad's what you're going into the season with, I think in the summer we all felt we were a little bit short, and you know, San and Diaz has definitely improved that. Canate obviously as well. So I'd be fine with it. Like again, I think what's clouded it, I think if you look back at in the massive games where Milner's played this season, we've kind of been, he has underperformed a bit. I think the City one's really unfair. He got a dog of a job there. He had to go and play right back against Phil Foden because Trent was out. That was just, and he didn't play well. Having played well against Palace, I don't think he had a particularly good game against Chelsea either.
Yeah.
But in like, not if we want Liverpool to be competing for four trophies and play 60-odd games a season, yeah. Milner playing in the Norwich FA Cup game, fine. Like, sound. If he plays Norwich in the league, absolutely fine. Like, you need your squad. And like I say, look, rank the midfielders now. Fab, Thiago, Hendo, Keita, Elliot, Jones, Ox. If Milner's number eight, then fine. Like, if he's on the same terms as he's on now and it doesn't impact his spending elsewhere, give him the contract, give him a year and see where he goes. It might be that after a year's footy, then he goes, you know what, I've had enough, and then he's around you to be that coach. Mm-hmm. What you don't want, I don't think, if you love him so much as the fella, then, and you want him to be a coach, you don't want to send him to Leeds for a year and then he becomes Leeds' as first team coach.
Yeah.
Let's keep him around. So I see the benefits of it. What I don't agree with, sorry, is that it goes, well, he sets the, you know, the model professional, and I get all that, but like, we've probably got enough of them anyway. I don't think you need them for that.
See, with the greatest of respect, Steve, that attitude's bollocks.
Okay.
Because, and this is a danger that everyone underestimates, and this is what's undone so many great Liverpool squads over the years, is they go, oh, well, we need to refresh. We need fresher legs. We need new guys, new ideas and all that. So you get rid of the old guys. And it's different now because we've got a load of winners now.
That's my point, yeah.
But the point, it's... And it goes, I have to put myself in Jurgen Klopp's shoes. He's the vice captain,
yep.
And he does. And what we only see the James Milner that takes to the field for, yes, Liverpool, and he's a waning power. He is. He's nothing like the player that he was three years ago. And we're now seeing the point where he can't quite drop into every game and be a positive. I think we are weakening our 11 at times to put him in. But James Milner is at Liverpool Football Club 5 to 6 days a week. And we play football in one or two of those a week. And the 90% of his contracted hours as a Liverpool player take place at the AXA. And it's what does he do there? And it's also things like this leadership group. We're blooding a new generation. Yep. We're bringing Trent up in this. Ali's in this. What's Jordan Henderson's long-term future at Liverpool? There's a debate that he might not see that full length of his contract out. James Milner, for me, as long as you're not paying him more money, if you're paying him the same or less,
yeah,
it's a fucking no-brainer because he sets the bar. You know, you're a young kid coming through, and I know we've got all these lads, but he's 36 years old, and if you're 17 and he's out running you, then you've got a major, yeah. You know, he weeds out a lot of shit in your squad without even realising it because of that bar.
My point is,
I realise we, the Steam X-Mate podcast is kicking off big time.
It's so interesting because, like, I agree with you. James Milner won't be, like, permanently playing a big role for us, but... Exactly. He's so underrated in terms of his impact for this team, for this squad. And like you see it in every sport team, every big franchises, every great super teams, whatever, who win titles, they have these old fellas, one or two, who keep this squad together. And like, even I don't know if Klopp was asked about this situation and then he talked about it, but there was another interview or press conference some weeks ago where he said, like, or post-match, like, all the motivational speeches, James Milner gives them.
Yep.
James Milner delivers them.
Yeah.
And like, he's a bit of everything. He could be a kind of a father figure to really young players, to Kate Gordon, to Harvey Elliott. And then I think he's really strict and hard as a football player. You have to earn his respect. And on the other way, he's funny on Instagram too. So yeah. Somehow it's a little bit of everything, and you need that in your squad. When we compete on every four fronts, to have him in the really physical games, in the cup competitions, unsung hero.
If nobody is ready in Jurgen Klopp's eyes to take up that vice captaincy mantle, then there's no point in not giving James Milner a new contract, because he's not going to demand loads of footy. And he might, because interesting about why he's been doing this, Fabrizio Romano's just tweeted, Liverpool have offered James Milner a one-year contract extension. Talks are now underway as Jurgen Klopp wants Milner to be part of the team also next season. Ooh. Talks will continue in the coming days, weeks. It's up to Milner now. And again, the only possible downside I can see in this is, when we went into this season, I looked at it and thought, we're playing Milner a bit more DM now, and if we've let Gini Wijnaldum go and Milner has stepped up to become our third choice DM, that's a weakening of the squad, because Gini Wijnaldum was a better DM than James Milner is. And so, to your point, if it means that someone else is losing out, then I agree that's an issue. But for me, all the off the field stuff, all the motivational stuff, all the leadership stuff and that kind of stuff, and the fact that he can play in like four or five different positions, he doesn't rock the boat. He's not a gobshite. He's not going to spit his dummy as. He's not going to have wanderlust to go anywhere else just yet. And you'll never get anything less than 100% commitment from on the field. And if he's not costing you any more money,
nobody.
We all do this, and boil this down to really simplistic terms. when you're picking your substitute bench, if you can put a lad on there who can just do a few positions, it means you get to put more other better lads on the pitch. Instead of having to put a right back and a left back on your bench, you put Milner on there, and then all of a sudden you can put an extra attacker on there, and that gives you more options.
I was about to say that going back to the point before, like, I think Liverpool, if Milner leaves, Liverpool will be fine. I don't think, like, you know, all the intangibles he brings, I get you. I'm talking off the field. Like, Virgil will just become vice captain, mm-hmm. and then someone, and Trent or Alisson are next in line, they'll be fine. I think the bar is set now. I think the atmosphere of the club is set. I don't think you need James Milner to do it. I think it's worth keeping James Milner around for the squad, mm-hmm. but the off the field stuff is extra bonuses. What we're getting is a lad who at 36 years old is fit enough to play every game, because you're not going to get many, is accepting that he's not going to play every game, can do a job at right back, can play left back, can play centre mid. That's why I'd keep him.
You need to replace this. You're right. The thing of replacing James Milner in the squad is basically impossible. You can't. You can give his games out to other players, of course. But that, when you need to call upon something, like, you, it's just like being in the fucking wilderness and you've got a Swiss Army knife in your pocket. Yep. I would rather have a Swiss Army knife in my pocket than all the individual component fucking things that you need.
Corkscrew, knife.
That's it. You know, if you're going to get caught short with that, you're not going to be able to knife and fork your dinner, but you're better having that than having nothing.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of the squad system. I'm not saying that we should accept James Milner as the first choice in any position in our team anymore, but your squad is well better for having him. And again, it depends on, like, you need someone else to fulfil that. Does Jordan Henderson want to accept himself he plays right back, he plays left back, he plays DM, he plays attacking mid. Sure. No. I think Jordan Henderson would fucking leave Liverpool before someone told him to do that.
Yeah, that's the point, is that I think if Milner is is squad member number 20 in your team, so he's always the lad who's like bottom of the subs list, but because he can play five places, he's invaluable. That's what I'm referring back to. I think he's a spot on. He brings so much, but if he was shit, then that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You could be the best you could be the best lad in the world, but if you can't play, you're no use to us.
Yeah.
You know, Adrian's apparently a good lad round the team, but if he was second choice goalie, we'd be having kittens about it.
Exactly.
You've got to be able to do stuff on the pitch. And I think he's had a couple of bad games more this season, and he is a waning force, you're right. Mm-hmm. But if Liverpool and Norwich in the cup next week or whatever, and James Milner's playing centre mid, sound.
Yeah.
I'd rather that than...
This is not Adam Lallana.
Who can't play.
And let's be honest, how he plays and where he plays, there's just, you know what I mean? He wants to play football and he wants to just go and have another career. If Milner's happy to be at Liverpool for a bit longer, for me, Milner should retire at this club.
Yeah.
Because I don't see the point in him not. Because, as I say, all those off-the-field stuff, they convert, for me, into coaching.
Yeah.
And if you can then, and that's how you start to build a dynasty. And because, I don't know who's going to be the next Liverpool manager, but if it's Pep Linders, you're going to need someone who's a bit more hateful in your dressing room, who shouts at people and gets angry and sets an emotional, you know, a different type of bar. It's got Ronnie Moran vibes for me. If he's good enough to go and play at another Premier League club or high-end championship and play 30, 40, 50 games, I'd rather than play 12 for Liverpool, and you just keep him.
Yeah. If you get a duo out of Pep Linders and James Milner as like manager duo for after Klopp, sound. I take that. And like you see, like I always say in these shows when we discuss it, we are really spoiled at that club. Not only with the football, not only football wise, but also we don't have major issues. Mm-hmm. Like when our journals and our beat writers report something, it's not a major outrage. Other clubs have this, and I think James Milner's impact on this is massive.
100%. Well, this is the thing, was a cop saying about how he puts out fires before they even happen. You don't even realise he's done it, and he's gone and sorted his squad issues out.
Avoid the crisis before it could evolve.
From doing these League Cup things, speaking to like Northwest Liverpool journalists, and I think it was even Chris Bascom was just saying, there's just no drama at Liverpool anymore. There used to be, you know, it used to be all kinds of stuff going on. You'd have cliques and you'd have infighting, you'd have footballers like trying to, you know, wangle stuff and do whatever. It's like,
and we don't have this.
And he's a massive part of that because you need, and it's what, again, that's why Ronnie Moran was so essential to Liverpool. It was the no big heads. He was the guy going around collecting your winners' medals in on the first day of pre-season training. Go, there you go, medals in the bag. Yeah, well done. Hope you enjoyed winning that title. That's done now. Move on to the next thing. Having someone like Milner, because you would be embarrassed to be a big head and sit next to James Milner in the changing room. You wouldn't want to come in and be, you know what I mean, and feel like you're a big time Charlie, because, and you need more lads like that, I think.
Do you think the level of everyone else is, because there's always someone who's shit, isn't there, like you say? There's always someone who other people, like Henderson's getting it recently because he's in a bad form, and Milner's had a couple of games. Yeah, a little bit scapegoat, but like, Milner's not shit. He's not well, we've got world class players everywhere, so the drop off is notable. Do you think that's a thing? Like, if that was a shit footballer, so he was, I don't know, Granit Xhaka was not, he's fucking crap him. If it was him and he, anyway, he plays for Arsenal, we're a big side, we're going to compete for the top four to and cups every now and then. He's nowhere near James Milner now. Do you think we're spoiled and we're just comparing? He's the weakest member perhaps of the first 18 is now Milner, or it's Jones, or it's Henderson. They're getting compared to other people, and that's why there's a bit more criticism around them. Do you think that's fair?
I mean,
I 100% agree with that, by the way.
I agree with you, Millie. Like, we got 110% out of James Milner in these 7 years. Like, playing-wise, when he was good, when he was, like, doing all the assists in the Champions League, all that stuff. And he was, like, getting a natural moving out of the first team and more in that coaching role, more in that role where he has more influence than only on the football field. And I really think, like, if it is so easy, I don't know if it's easy, I don't know how James Milner thinks, but if it's that easy to have a guy like him for another year and he would be fine with his role, I rather take this, because you will feel a difference. I think they will feel a difference when he's not here anymore.
We do. I think two things. We live in like ranking culture.
Yeah.
Where there's got to be a best player, and therefore, because you've named your best player, you have to have a worst player. And I think that is a constant, in constant cycle. And some people think it's a certain player, and some people are determined it's one, and then we'll shut the faces for a season or two. But the second that player hits bad form, they're ready with the knives out again. It's not, and you mentioned this, English lads in Liverpool teams tend to have a much harder ride than Scouse lads in English teams and foreign players. And I said this, if James Milner was Luis Enrique, or he was Angelo Di Livio, or he was Alessandro Costa Curta, or he was Ciro Ferrara, or he was any number of like these lads who could play a number of positions over the years, who we've all adored on all levels of Football Manager, Champ Manager, all that kind of stuff, there'd be no issues with this. But we do this sometimes too much, because you're right, we are spoiled.
Yep.
James Milner walks into most Liverpool team, every Liverpool team in the Premier League era, apart from the one from the last two or three seasons, and that's just because we've grown a bit beyond him, and he's aged out of touch.
Look at the 13-14 bench, right? Look at the 13-14 bench, and then tell me if James Milner's we got nine subs. If James Milner's playing number 20, who would play number 20 have been then? We are spoiled. They've done such a good job building the squad. You're right. I think personally, if the money's the same and he's happy, keep it. The only one who's going to be gutted is Harvey Elliott, because he's pining for that number 7. Harvey wants that number 7 shirt so bad. He's like, another year with 67.
Sat outside the room, him and Diaz are sat outside the Klopp's office. I'm waiting for the smiles. He comes out smiling. They go, oh.
Back to 67 again.
Yeah. I'll change my Instagram back. We're going to move on. We had a quick couple of super chats. Trick Josh says, it's said that Man City have so many good players, their second team is better than most Prem teams' first choices. Do you think Liverpool squad has two first class teams in it? I do agree on that. I think that, and that's part of the point, is that James Milner, the worst case, our second team is a top four contending team.
Yeah.
James Milner is an example of that. Arsenal would love a James Milner right now. Leicester would love a James Milner. Man United would, I mean, how weak their midfield has been.
We talked about the sixth position.
Matic gets into their team still, for God's sake. Fred gets into their team. McTominay is at best another Milner level footballer. He's just maybe a bit taller. You know what I mean? That's it. There's tons of those teams who would give anything for that, and everything that he brings around the pitch. Again, I look at who else does that job in the Premier League. I quite like Mark Albrighton. He's not brilliant, but he's the kind of lad who...
Good little sub.
Exactly. You just, in any given situation, you need to patch a hole in your team for the game, you chuck him in and he'll do a job. My nan's got bunions, apparently. says, Fabrizio saying we've offered a one-year extension. Yeah, as we've covered. Thank you so much for that, mate. And Damien Jurovsky says, James Milner needs a song. Yeah, the little one on the go about 3 or 4 years ago that never really took off. But I agree, James Milner should have. He's one of them. In years to come, he'll have a bench or if we go down more frequent statues route, I think he'll get one because he's been so integral. Right, we are going to talk very briefly about Inter Milan. We've got one more quick break, but it's not a break in the traditional sense. I spoke to Stuart Downing for an In Conversation With special, gearing up around Wembley Week, of course. So yeah, here's a little bit from that.
You're thinking when them two miss, oh no, they're sort of your go-to penalty takers and... But the so-called not a good one scored.
Particularly given the sort of atmosphere and everyone's on edge.
Yeah.
It genuinely looked like it was the easiest thing in the world. I guess
it wasn't. It wasn't.
Yes, as we gear up towards the League Cup final, I spoke to Stuart Downing in a good old in-depth conversation with a really underrated footballer, actually. You know, he didn't get loads of goal-scoring exploits at Liverpool, but he was Liverpool's man of the match the last time they won a League Cup. And you can see in that, and he talks about it as well, he won the man of the match's trophies actually there, which is really cool. But yeah, really, really interesting stuff. Loads of tactical insights into how Liverpool played under Kenny Dalglish and a little bit about how he fell out with Brendan Rodgers and how he comes to Liverpool and stuff as well. So yeah, if you want to get yourself in the mood, but also learn more about a really, really solid footballer that Liverpool owned that it never quite worked out for. Yeah, really, really good guy, and that's streaming right now on Redman Plus. Right, just briefly then, Inter Milan. No Nicola Barella for them, who's suspended, which is brilliant news for Liverpool. No away goals rule as well, Steve, which is a new world for us. You know, we've profited off that away goals rule a lot. Obviously less so Atletico Madrid a couple of years ago, but that will be, I'm just fascinated to see how that kind of impacts the tie, really, because it means Inter will have to have a bit more of a go at home. It might mean Liverpool are a little bit less gung-ho as a result because we don't need to chase an away goal.
It makes a draw for the home team a better result. That's what it does. So I don't know how that plays in tactically. There's arguments for both, isn't there? There's arguments to say, Inter know that we might need to win this one because if we go to Anfield, we're going to have to beat them at Anfield more than likely, which is impossible. This is what I spoke to Alex, the Inter Milan fan, on the Oppo preview, and he basically said, I asked this question, it makes the San Siro game for Inter a must win because I don't think we can go to Anfield and win. That's what it does.
Yeah.
Usually if you draw 0-0 at home and you think, hello, we're going to get a 1-1 away and we're through, you can't do that no more. So I think you're right. I think what it does, it puts emphasis on the home team in the first leg to go out and play. It means the second team can shut up shop a bit more. You don't have to go and chase that goal. So it's an interesting tactical dynamic. I agree with them changing. I don't think they needed away goals anymore. I found it baffling that a goal scored in one ground was worth more goal in another ground. I didn't like it, so I'm glad they got rid of it.
It did always make you edgier because obviously we'd always prefer to have Anfield second leg, which of course we've got. But it did always add that like that extra devastation.
If Adrian Johnson's goal goes in 2005, we're out.
Diego Forlán in for Atletico Madrid in the Europa League semi-finals. Yeah. Things like, you know, those kind of situations. And again, Atletico a couple of seasons ago, just absolute heartbreak that it causes. I do feel as though this is the kind of thing that definitely just prefaces Liverpool.
It prefaces the better team, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Defo. And it is a different game for the home team whenever you play, but it's still like, it's still the same. Like, still, they still play football. It's still, and I still prefer Anfield as a second leg because it's just better. Like playing the first leg, being successful or solid or whatever, and then coming back to your stadium. That's still a beautiful thing for me. Like just like psychologically, but it could be a tactical difference. Interesting to see how they treat it.
I don't think it'll change our arm. I think we go to win every game anyway. I think Jürgen always goes to just win the game. I don't think what it does do, if you're 2-0 up, you don't have to go and chase the whatever.
But what I
mean is it might change in so much as if it's 0-0 and it's 10 minutes to go, your mindset as the away team is not,
we really need a goal.
We should try and nick an away goal because that'll put us in. That'll put us strong. 0-0 is a really good result for Liverpool in the San Siro. If it comes down to that, better than it was always 1-0 away is like almost the perfect result in that regard. More than that, it's obviously more and more helpful. But yet, I wonder whether if there's 10 minutes to go, it's an interesting psychological shift for us. Do we put the extra defender on? Or do we go? Or do we refresh an attacker? It'd be interesting.
Rafa always used to play, I think, European games like it was this. He was never Arsenal. So he was always a case of, if we have to get back to Anfield and just win the game of football, we'll do that. Yeah. And that's kind of what it goes back to. Like he went to Chelsea away, and he wasn't bothered about getting the away goal, was he? He went there in that 2005 one and went, right, if we are 0-0 in either of them, by the way, sad. Like, whatever. In the end, they get beaten 1-0 in one of them. We get it. He was not bothered. It was more, if we have to win a game of football at Anfield to qualify, we'll be fine. And that's what being the second leg is so helpful with. It might be interesting if in the next round, if we end up as the home team first, it might change your mindset then. But yeah, for now, I don't think it changes too much. But I think it'll change Inter Milan's. I think they have to win. They'll be saying, we have to win this game at home.
Yeah.
If we go to Anfield and have to scrape a draw, I fancy us. I don't fancy us going to Anfield and actually turning Liverpool over.
I think it's more fair more fair in a way, because we've seen it a lot of times. Football games can be weird, and like you can have a complete outrageous day where 7-8 players out of the team have a bad day, or you have red cards or VAR decisions, some stuff. Like if you have to face all these challenges and then you lose 2-0 or something, not like no matter in which side you are, home or away, like it can, like if you have a bad game, it doesn't affect you that much anymore, because it's just a normal result. And you can turn that around in the second game.
Yeah, away goals can leave you dead and buried within a. Within
when you have
first
a bad
game
and then you then at home and then you lose.
Think of the
two goals.
If you think of the City game when Salah scores, that goal is so big because it's scored in a ground 40 minutes down the road.
Yeah.
That's the only difference it is. It's an away goal because we got that three at home. That one it's impossible for City to win. Where what is it doing? If Salah scores that goal, City think we still only need three.
Yeah.
When they need five, they're like, oh well, fuck
and
it.
Roma as well. You know all those kind of situations. Like
I think what it should do, it should mean more second legs are still in the balance. Mm-hmm. It should, because if say City go and beat Wolfsburg 3-0 away or whatever, usually that game, I mean, it's probably game over anyway. But usually that would mean Wolfsburg come to the Etihad needing to get the away goal. And then win three just to get some extra time. Yeah. Now what it means is four wins you the game anyway. Where City know that if they score and go to four, that's game over.
Yeah,
because they have to score five to beat us.
Absolutely. Are we feeling happy, positive, excited?
How could you not be?
Yeah,
really excited. Like the great games coming up, and Champions League is back. So always great under the lights.
Cannot wait for that. Obviously,
what are you for?
More preferably when we get back to Anfield, of course. But yeah, we will be doing a watch along for that. Loads more from us. If you want more Inter Milan build up, then the build up show is there for you. Steve's doing starting at 11 as well. There's an Oppo preview over on Red Men Plus. Chris is doing a stats show later this afternoon. That's on Red Men Plus. The Stuart Downing conversation with, and from this weekend onwards, we're going big on Wembley week. So yes, podcast series, documentaries, interviews galore, getting you ready for the League Cup final. But yeah, brilliant stuff, and thank you so much to everyone who signed up already. Everything's going really well, and we're getting some amazing feedback on that stuff. So yeah, you guys are awesome, and of course to our club legends who've joined in the conversation, everyone who's listened and watched live as well, you guys are boss. This podcast is live 10:30 on Tuesday mornings on YouTube, so if you ever want to get stuck in and join us, then do that. Anyway, that's all that stuff out the way. The little matter of a massive game in the San Siro. Cannot wait. Up the Reds.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.